Yeah. If I can't do it, homie, it can't be done. Now I'ma let the champagne bottle pop. I'ma take it to the top. Show, I'ma make it hot, baby.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. It's been a minute, man. I had a week off. I missed y'all. I missed, like, having these conversations. I love doing this podcast. Hope everybody had a good last 2 weeks. There's been some crazy stuff in the news. I want to cover a few of those things, and then my week was just made. I saw one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time, possibly my favorite movie of the year, in top five, and I wanted to talk about that and give the homie Chris Rock huge props. But first, man, like, North Korea, yo, these cats ain't playing, B. Like, the CIA said that North Korea was behind the Sony hacking. I mean, we've been saying horrible things about North Korea for a long time, since I was a child. It's been a really long time. But it took a B-level stoner comedy to make them just go over the edge, yo. Like they went off, B. Like, they was hot. They sent the secret hackers in to, like, sabotage Sony Pictures. It's crazy. Yo, this is like, I was thinking about this. I was like, yo, that's like being in high school and somebody just taking your lunch money and giving you a wedgie every single day. But that kid doesn't, like, snap until a first grader says that they got a big nose. Like, little Kim Jong-un, man, like, he just don't want no problems, bro. Like, the United States have been taking shots at North Korea for a long time. But it took Seth Rogen and his, like, stoner movie to be like, no, this is too much. This is way too far. And they, like, spooked Sony. And so, maybe that's not funny, y'all. I don't know. That is so funny to me that you sent in, like, the big dogs to come in and hack into Sony. But I can't front. The Sony hack has been somewhat hilarious, yo. Like, so, Amy Pascal, like, the lady from Sony, she is hilarious. So, these are two things I learned from the Sony hacks. One, Amy Pascal is the queen of throwing shade. Like, and number two, I really, 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 really want to work for Sony. Like, I really, not necessarily Sony, but I really want to be a studio head so bad. Oh, so bad. Reading those emails was the funniest thing I've done in a long, long time, man. Like, it's a dream of mine now. I'm not even fronting. Like, I can really step up my shade throwing game, B. I promise you. Like, is it too late to get an internship? Bro, I want to be a studio head so bad. I can do it, y'all. Like, Schwarzenegger, listen, my emails would be like, That's me typing these emails. My emails would be like, for Arnold Schwarzenegger, it'd be like, Bruh is 107 years old, so unless he is protecting the old folks' home against a geritol shortage, we're going to need him to retire from the Terminator series, yo. Like, why am I seeing clips with a new Arnold Schwarzenegger, man? I see that they're going to use some CGI to kind of get when he was younger. I understand all that. They're about to go in and change, like, history with Sarah Connor. My emails about Arnold Schwarzenegger, I could throw, like, some real shade. I can put Amy Pascal to shame. Or Christopher Nolan. Like, there's a lot of folks that loved Interstellar. I'm not one of those people. I hated that movie. Anyway. But this is what my email will say. It will say, hey, team. Or I might work with, like, a lot of white people. Hey, guys. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that loved Interstellar. So what that means is they'll watch anything with his name on it. It's time to launch the Pet Rock trilogy. Add 40 bell tolls and it'll be a hit because, well, America. Listen, I'm telling you, I could do it. I could throw the shade. I could call him like a spoiled brat or like a baby. I can call him like, listen, like nobody is checking Christopher Nolan's work at this point. Like nobody is like, hey man, I don't know, that little part right there in Interstellar, maybe we can change. Nobody's doing that. Nobody is doing that. It is the Emperor's New Clothes with Christopher Nolan. Like if anybody, everybody's scared to say something because they feel like they're gonna be exposed because like he's like this genius. But Interstellar was garbage. I said it. Yeah, I said it. Like the big climactic was like, this movie's so beautiful. You know what they did? They spent 5 real minutes in that movie showing a simple latching of one machine to another machine. That was the super beautiful climactic parts. It's like, it's so beautiful, bro. They went to like Antarctica. Anyway, I digress. I can do it, y'all. I'm telling you, give me, we got to get this petition. I will quit whatever I'm doing right now to go and work for Sony. I promise you. Like, the Sony hack just showed me that I'm approaching work all wrong. Like, I'm working all hard and stuff. Like, nah, stop that. Let that go. All I need to do is get rich and be white. Now, I don't know why I didn't try this strategy before. That's the strategy. So I'm working on. I want to get rich and white. I'm going to become a rich white lady that runs Sony and throw shade. And then I can bathe in money. And I can throw shade on people like she did to like Angelina Jolie and Kevin Hart and Denzel Washington. Like, or ruin the Jobs movie. Whatever. Like, the possibilities are endless for Sony and Pascal. It's so crazy. But I digress. So while I'm on this tip around, hopefully nobody got offended about that. Like, I'm sure Amy's feelings will not be too hurt. Like, she's not worried about me. What she might do is write an email kind of blasting me and then try to give me a hug when she sees me like she did with Angelina Jolie. And Angelina definitely gave her like the side eye and was like, oh, I got chicken pox, so I can't come to no premieres. Those are some really, that was the most convenient chicken pox in the history of that disease. I'm just letting you know. It's all good. You ain't fooling nobody, Angie. Like, so, have y'all heard about this Serial podcast? Like, so, it just basically ended season one, and it's about, like, this murder and this kid that they think is, and I don't know. I tried to listen to it. I can't do it. It didn't speak to me. I just really didn't care about what was going on. But I do know one black dude that listens to the Serial podcast. He's a friend of mine. He tried to, like, get me on it. It just wasn't working. Like, this is, like, remember, like, this is the new Wire for, like, some people. Like, remember when the Wire got hot and there was so many, like, non-hood folks that started telling you, like, about the hood? Like, white folks, not just white folks, like, people with money that, like, did not grow up in a hood, like, they just started to testify to you about what was going on in the hood. Like, don't you love when that happens? That's like somebody watching, like, Barbershop 1 and 2, like those Ice Cube movies, and the second one with Queen Latifah. I wanted to add part 2 on there as well. But that's like somebody watching those movies and then going into a barbershop and telling the person cutting your hair about the hair industry. It's like, come on, bro. Like, back up. Like, calm down. I know that, like, white folks started to really like The Wire. Everybody liked The Wire. The Wire was a great show. It's one of the greatest shows of all time. It was just so funny. Because you start seeing these people had these conversations. Well, Dookie was, you know, he had so much potential. And it was just funny. I don't know. It just was weird. It was a weird conversation to include somebody like me in. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it was fine. It was just weird. But I don't know, man. Like, but back to Serial. Like, if you're a black person that listens to the Serial podcast, let me know so I can connect you to other black Serial podcast listeners. Like, I want to make these connections. Y'all, I'm going to call y'all, like, the BSP crew. The Black Serial Podcast crew. I just want to connect people. There ain't no shade there. I heard some real high quality. I'm not hating. Listen, I will not yuck yo yum. There is no shade. There is no hate. I just want to connect people. I don't want you being the only black person in your circle of friends that listens to the Serial podcast. I don't want you doing that. I want you to have be able to enjoy this with other people from your ethnic group. So I'm not even just like we can do like for the Mexican people that listen to the Serial podcast, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? I will connect you to other Mexican. Y'all will be the MSP, the Mexican Serial podcast crew. It would be awesome. I'm just trying to bring people together. But these are like the three things that have been happening in the news that just have made me laugh. I probably shouldn't be laughing at any of it, but it just was funny to me. But then something awesome happened this week. I went to go see the homie Chris Rock's movie Top 5. I love movies, especially since I can't hoop right now because my knee is bummed out, and that's still taking a long time to heal and get back to where it needs to be. I go to the movies. I love the movies. I can spend my entire day there. Yo, Top 5 Real Life was the best trip I've taken to the movies in like this year. Stand-up is just one of my favorite pastimes. It just is. Like, Eddie Murphy is my favorite comedian of all time. I love that dude. I think that dude is a beast. I will never argue somebody that says Richard Pryor is best or Bill Cosby. Like, those two are definitely kings of comedy. They just are. And maybe it's because of when I was born or whatnot, but Eddie Murphy's my favorite. But Chris Rock is definitely in my top three. Like, dude is a hero of mine. His honesty, his love of hip-hop culture, his political acumen, like, the whole shebang. So when I saw the previews for Top 5, I got excited. Now, let me say, I didn't have high expectations. I didn't expect much. I mean, I've seen a bunch of Chris Rock movies. They do not do his stand-up justice all the time. There's some that's been has some potential, but I just didn't expect much. And it was like a ton of cameos, but I just don't feel like his movies have normally done him justice. But I was really surprised. So I hit up a theater near my crib, and instantly I felt like a black Roger Ebert, RIP. I love Roger Ebert, yo. Siskel and Ebert, Ebert and Roper, like, I love Roger Ebert. I've been a fan of his for a long time. Little known fact, homie used to date Oprah Winfrey. Had a thing for the black girls, had a thing for the sisters. Who knew? His wife was black as well. But for the most part, like, I had the theater to myself, so I felt like a critic, right? Like, I had like a little notebook to take notes because I was like, man, I feel like it's going to be some good stuff in here. It's like going to be some great one-liners. So I felt like I was on the Chicago Sun-Times payroll, like I was Ebert in the new flesh. That's what I felt. And then I looked at my bank account and I realized that I definitely wasn't. But I loved every minute. I love so much of this flick. Like, you don't even understand. Like, so the movie is partly like Woody Allen-esque self-introspection of Rock's character as, you know, stand-up guy that's made the leap to mainstream with his Hammy the Bear franchise earning $600 million and 3 movies. So Rock's character wants to be taken serious now as an actor. So he's starring in a movie about like a Haitian slave revolt. It's supposed to be like his serious movie that no one's fooling with. All right. So he's also 3 days away from marrying his reality star fiance, Gabrielle Union, who looks amazing in this movie. That Gabrielle Union is just a beautiful, beautiful woman. This did not like escape me. Like, I noticed this. And so we get to spend a day with, you know, Chris Rock's character as he gets interviewed by Rosario Dawson. So let me tell you why I love this movie. He spoke to me just on a personal level, and there are a few different things in my favorites category. So I'll just go into like hip hop. So some of my favorite albums of all time, like the Marshall Mathers LP, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot by DMX, Illmatic by Nas, and Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent. Like, so let me start. Eminem is just a pure beast on the microphone when I'm referring like Marshall Mathers LP or most of his albums. I mean, just plain stupid. I've never heard anyone approach rap the way he did. But the story of growing up crazy poor with a drug addict mom and his back against the wall feeling like, homie, I was hooked. And I have owned every single Eminem album and probably will until the day he stops doing it. Like, he and Nas fight for my number was 1 and 2 like rapper slots daily. That's just all I remember that year, I just listened to a lot of Eminem and DMX. Like, DMX is as dark and hell is hot. It was just in pure joy. Those two just painted, like, these pictures that were just crazy, crazy grim. And then Nas just made beautiful music. Like, not even on some corny stuff. Like he took what most people saw as ugly, and he just made it gorgeous. So, like, in contrast, Eminem, you know, told me about his trailer park and his mom's that was suffering from Munchausen syndrome, and it was just ugly. Like, it was hella ugly, yo. But, like, Nas made Queensbridge, like, beautiful. And he just seemed crazy smart to me. Like, New York State of Mind is still, to me, like, the greatest hip-hop song ever made. Real talk. Like, he started that whole energy converter thing for me. Like, the things that I say, like, how I say energy converter, or I say blood of a slave, heart of a king, I got all that from Nas. Because that was just the epitome of an energy converter. It was just take this real bad situation and make it great, make it beautiful. Take this thing that most people would say is ugly and just make it gorgeous. So that's just what Nas was to me, and Illmatic, and things that Nas has done since then. I love Nas. That's like my dude. And then came 50. Like, 50 Cent, like, definitely my favorite personality in hip hop. I mean, let's look at it. And I think people are forgotten because it got real successful, and, you know, people stopped liking him the way they did. But homie gets shot up, gets dropped from his label, he gets blackballed from every record company, and then he just willed himself to success. Like, I believed, like, the title of Get Rich Without Trying, I believed every single word of that, yo. Like, I believed he really believed that. It was like, I'm going to get rich, or I'm going to die trying to do this. Like, it just automatically put this instant aura in the air around him. Because you were just like, damn, anything can pop off with this dude at any time. So, like, I always identify with homie. And not the whole drug dealer that got gunned down in front of granny's house. And my mom's got murdered when I was a young boy. Not that thing, you know. But the whole piece around people not believing in you, you know, or ostracizing you and just not fooling with you. Like, and then just this whole me against the world thing. That stuff got me through, like, college. And not the album. I'm just saying I was a little bit older when that album came out. But that mentality around, like, look, people ain't been fooling with me, like, most of my life. I'm in this alone. If I don't do, like, if I don't get this college thing down, like, it's a wrap for me. Like, so I really identified with that notion of this me against the world thing. Always had a common energy to focus on. Like, it would just focus me. Like, when I had, like, a nemesis or, like, a thing that I was trying to battle, it just helped me focus, it helped me study, like, all those things. So, top five, to like, the movie top five spoke to me not wanting to be pigeonholed to one thing. That movie spoke to not being as excited or comfortable by what other folks, you know, may see as success for me. Like, I get to define what that is. So that's how that movie kind of pulled me in. It drew me in that way. Also, both leading ladies were just dope. Like, I mean, they were. You got Rosario Dawson and you have the beautiful Gabrielle Union. And so Gabby just did a lot with a little bit of time. Like, she didn't have a bunch of time to do stuff, and she just did a lot of, she just did a lot with it. She was like, I'll talk more about her in a second, but let's start with Rosario Dawson's just dopeness. One, she's just amazingly beautiful. Rosario Dawson is just so gorgeous to me. I've loved Rosario Dawson for a long, long time. Anyway, I'm trying to refocus because now I'm thinking about Rosario Dawson and, like, how smart she is and how beautiful she is. The smartness makes her even more beautiful. Anyway, it's a rabbit hole. I don't want to take you down that path. You don't need to see that part of my brain. Two, I was really feeling, like, the Woody Allen type of banter between those two. Like, the conversations they were having, I dug that back and forth. I liked how Rock really separated himself from
the Tyler Perry trap. What is the Tyler Perry trap, you ask? Let me explain it to you. The Tyler Perry trap is when movies force you to like someone and hate somebody else. So, for instance, like Tyler Perry will have his antagonist. Like, he's clearly identified who the antagonist is. It's usually like a dark-skinned brother. But just in case you didn't already dislike the dark-skinned dude enough and root for the light-skinned dude, he's going to make the dark-skinned dude, like, rape a grandmother and put his 15-year-old niece on the prostitute strip, like, outside on San Pablo, as the light-skinned dude, like, flies in with a cape and singing the Bible while curing the grandmother of a threatening disease that the dark-skinned dude injected her with. Like, that's the type of stuff that Tyler Perry does. That's that Tyler Perry-ish, son, like, in his glory. Like, he just does that in the majority of his movies. He just force feeds you and, like, makes situations where you just have to like or hate this other person. So, nah, he didn't. Chris Rock didn't do this in this movie. And it was really easy to do it because, so, Gabby, like I said, coming back to Gabrielle Union, she played, like, the Kim Kardashian-esque character. She's the reality star. She seems extremely vain. But he made her a person, and he allowed us to have compassion for her character. So there's a moment in the movie where it seems like she's going to get, like, real crass and, like, abandon him. And, you know, Chris had just made a real big public mistake, and, you know, and she's just, like, pleading with him. And she is, it's a really empathetic moment in the movie. And this is where I give Gabrielle Union acting chops, because she acted her butt off in that moment. And you, like, really cared about this character, and it was really well done. So the other thing, yo, was the cameos. My Lord, the cameos. Let me just name some of these people. I'm going to forget folks because it was so many people. It's like Kevin Hart, J.B. Smoove. Oh, my goodness. Let me, like, make sure I don't forget folks. Leslie Jones from SNL. It's a bunch of SNL people. So it was like Leslie Jones, Michael Che, and Jay Farrow, like the majority of the black people from SNL. Tracy Morgan, Cedric the Entertainer, Sherry Shepherd, Seinfeld, Adam Sandler, Whoopi Goldberg, Ben Vereen, and freaking DMX, man. So many people. It's just madness how many people was in this movie. The scenes with Sandler, Seinfeld, and Whoopi were just, I mean, it was so funny. I mean, it just showed why those three in particular are just the titans in comedy. Like, especially with so many funny people. I mean, there were so many funny people in the movie, but Seinfeld, Sandler, and Whoopi, they just stood out. They stood out amongst those people just as they have throughout their careers. Like, it's not a fluke that they are as successful as they are. They had just some of the most authentic parts, and it was just great. And I just felt like I've been Rock's character, and I've hung out with that guy. Like, I loved it. It was just such a good movie. Maybe I'm pushing it a little bit much. I don't know. But you all should check it out on your own. You deserve it to, like, see it on your own. It's definitely not for children. There's a lot of suggestive scenes in there. There's some things that get said and some things that you will see. So don't take little kids to see it, but it's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it, and I like the direction that he went in. I'm totally okay with I'm totally okay with him borrowing so much from Woody Allen, because I think that him putting a fresh spin on it just made it so great. So anyway, I'm just happy to be back doing a podcast. I'm going to be gone next week. I'm going to Chicago on Christmas. And then while I'm there, I'm going to go to Kentucky and see Granny's headstone. That's the biggest thing that I really want to do. Hopefully weather permits and I can go and do this road trip solo and make it happen. So appreciate y'all rocking with me. I will try to get something done while I'm out there. Not sure if I can, but I'll let folks know. And as always, man, y'all rock. Do work and be an energy converter, man. Take those situations that's going on in your life, anything that's negative, and you can turn into a positive and bless somebody else. Peace. I'm out. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See, with the pen, I'm extreme. Now, bullet holes left in my peepholes. I'm suited up with street clothes. Hand me a 9 and out, defeat foes. Y'all know my steelo, with or without the airplay. I keep some E and J, sitting bent up in the stairway, or either on the corner, betting grants with the CeeLo champs, laughing at bass heads, trying to sell some broken amps.